Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Psachim and Pei Gimel. We are at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. Ha'atzameis, we're speaking about the Korban Pesach, the bones of the Korban Pesach, v'hagidin, all the veins, the sinews, the tendons, v'anoisa, or ordinary basar of the Korban, these three items, which were left beyond the Zman Achila, past the expiry date. They need to be burnt, they're noisar. Yisarfu, bishisha asar, they're burnt on the 16th day of Nisan, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Chol Tazayin liyas b'Shabbos. What if 16 falls out on Shabbos? Yisarfu b'Yud Zayin. They'll be burnt on the 17th. Why? L'fi she'enan doichen. Loyas ha-Shabbos, v'loyas ha-Yomtev. Because Sreifas Kachem does not override the Shabbos or Yomtev. Says Rashi, somewhere in the middle of the Amid here, Masnisen Hatzomei, says Rashi. Why is he burning bones? Shloyocha l'shevron, because he couldn't crack them open. B'pneishen Nesra boi shvirasa etzem. We know that the bones of the Korban Pesach may not be broken. Sefer Chinuch writes, breaking bones during the eating process is a disrespectful way of eating. It's an animalistic way of eating out of desperation, devouring the food with the chomping through the bones. And Korban Pesach is meant to be derech cheres, dignified and respectful. So he says that's the perhaps one of the reasons why the Torah doesn't allow us to break the bones of the Korban Pesach while eating the Pesach. Since he can't break through that bone, what about the content within that bone, the marrow, which is edible? And the mayach, the marrow, was left within. Is it accessible? Varihu noiser, v'ton sreifa. It turns out that we have some noiser, some edible which was left beyond the zman achila, which is noiser, needs to be burned. That's why you burn the entire bone with it. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. That's the first item on the list, the atzamos. You burn them on account of its content, which is edible. Continues Rashi, v'chein gidin. The same thing regarding the Gidin of the Korban Pesach. The Gemara will ask, why burn them? Why can't he just eat them before the expiration date? The third item is V'hanoisar, Basar Pesach, ordinary Basar of the Pesach, and it's Atzlu B'achilosav and Toisar, with which they were lazy, they just let it expire past his Manachila. Now we have Noisar. These three things, bones, Gidin, and Basar Noisar, will be burnt when Bishisha Asar. Even though they all became pasul when? Right, the morning of the 15th, which is the Soif Zman Achilas Pesach, Ein Rashai L'Soif for B'Yomtev, you can't burn it on that very day, on Yomtev. Because in Farshu Gemara, that you may not burn Kachim on Shabbos or on Yomtev. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav Mori Baravu Omar Yitzchak. Atzamis Kachim Sheshimshu Noiser. Kachim bones of a korban, which serviced noiser, they supported noiser. We're speaking about bones that have noiser, for instance, within them, the marrow contained within the bone. Since this bone is serving as a base for the noiser, mitamen asayadayim. We know that midrabanan there is a tuma. If one touches noiser, Rabbanan wanted to ensure that we're not negligent with the basar of kachim, we don't allow it to expire. Therefore, they instituted a tuma of the Rabbanan. If we have noisar, we touch that noisar, our hands become tummy. Not only does the tuma apply to the actual basar, according to this shita, Rabbi Yitzchak, even the supporter of the noisar, the bones which contain that noisar, will become tummy. Hoyel v'nase basis l'davar asar. Since they became a basis, a base, a supporter for the davar asar, they became bottle to it. Just as we have when it comes to muktzah, we have the basis l'davar asar. Not only is the muktzah, but also the thing that it's sitting on, the base, which is bottle to the item that it's supporting. Let's go back to Rashi for a moment. Pick up where we left off, right after the Mishnah. It says Rashi Gemara, Sheshimshu noisar. We're speaking about bones which served noiser, shenoiser ben moyach. There was some marrow contained within that etzem, which is now noiser. And the bones supported, they contained that edible mayach. The halacha is metamei seidaim, kenoiser atzma, just as the nose is metamei, the atzma is as well. Shegazru chacham sheitamei seidaim perik basrul kamon perikin ma'is lo begemar. Buses, what is the definition of buses? Kanoi, it's the base. Kibed kidim mitargeminon besise, this is by the kier. Vesakir ves kanoi. The Targum says, Kanai is besise, very similar to the English word base. It's a basis, it's a supporter. Makay meshavai, where it sits. So that's the chiddush here. Not only is the Neisur tummy min Rabbanon, the basis is tummy as well. Let's go back to the Gemara. Name a Messiah, perhaps we can have a riot to this halach from our Mishnah. These three items are burnt. Let's analyze the first item on the list. What type of bones are we speaking about? Mishnah tells us these bones are slated and designated for sreifa. Why? What type of bones are we speaking about? Are we speaking about bones that don't contain any marrow? There's nothing edible there. Lama b'sreifa, why would you have to burn them? Nishdino, just get rid of them. Discard of them. Why would you have to burn them? Neiser is only for something which was edible. If you have a leftover eichel, something which was roi l'achila and left over, that's called neiser. But something which was inedible, there's no neiser applied to that. You don't have to burn it. Apparently, these bones contain something edible. They have that mayach in them. Okay. Since it has something edible in there, and that content is nicer, the bones as well are meant to be burnt together with its content. Now, this all works if you subscribe to that chiddush, that something which is being mishamish, serving noiser, is bottled to the content, bottled to the noiser, shimish, noiser, milsi, serving noiser has significance. Amatullahachi, bois reifa. That explains why the bones, since they're bottled to their content, they are also considered like their noiser. Amatullahachi, bois reifa. That's why the Mishnah tells us to burn those bones. They're bottled to the noiser. Eli Amis Shimish Noiser Lav Milsi. However, if you say that serving Noiser has no significance, Lamalu Sreifa, why does the Mishnah tell us to burn these bones? Nitbirinu. Let's just break them, Rashi explains. After the time expired, after the Zman Achila, this Karban Pesach is now a puzzle, and you may break an etzim and a Karban Pesach, which is pasul. So wait until the Zman Achila has expired. Break open those bones. V'nechaltza l'mayach to do. And just extract the content, the edible content. V'nisrafei. And burn the noiser, the edible content. V'nishtinu l'dedu. And take those bones and get rid of them. Throw them out. You don't have to burn them. Save on your firewood. Ela lav shma mino shimush noiser milsi. Apparently, we learn from our Mishnah that Shimush Noiser has significance. The bones, since they're serving the Noiser, which is within them, they too are considered like Noiser. They're bottled to their content, and they too have to be burnt together with the content. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi again. Rashi here is around 8 or 9 lines above the wide lines in Rashi. So if you see the wide lines on bottom, go back up 9 lines. Rashi begins with Hani Atzomis Hechidami. This is a reference back to the Mishnah, which tells us that the Atzomis will be burnt. What type of Atzomis are we speaking about? The Ka'amar Ikron Tchilosim B'Sreifa. Mishnah tells us these bones are designated initially for Sreifa. There's nothing else you can do with them. Well, if there is no edible content, just get rid of them. Nishdinu Yashlichen. Dil Hitzruch HaKos of Sreifa. Ele Broil Achila. Very key Rashi. The Din Sreifa, by Noiser only applies to something which is Roy Lachil. Vini Toiser, and was left over. Kedachsev, Loiser Sir Menorat Biker. You meant to eat it within the time frame, within the Zman Achila. Don't leave it over. Something which was left over beyond the Zman Achila. That's called Noiser. That needs to be burnt. Vim Toiser Tisrefu. Something which was left over from Achila needs to be burnt. Something which was not Roy Lachila, such as ordinary bones, is not considered noiser. That doesn't have to be burnt. Noiser, by definition, means it's left over. Left over from Achila. It was meant to be eaten now, and it was left over beyond that zman. Something which was never meant to be eaten to begin with, that's not called noiser. Continues Rashi, apparently, the Isbu Moyach was speaking that the bones have some edible content. There's some marrow in there. Still says the Mishnah, they're initially slated for Shreifa. Why? Shashal Shoybron. Because you may not crack them open. And that leads them to become nice. Hilke That explains why the Mishnah lists them separately. Bones, Gidin, and Noiser. Noiser is ordinary basar, which could have been eaten, and was circumstantially left over, became Noiser. These atzamos will automatically become Noiser. There's no other alternative, there's no other option, because you can't access the food within them. So these atzamos are initially designated for burning. That's why the Mishnah lists them separately. Okay. Now, let's analyze the Mishnah. Why do you burn these bones? Well, if Shimush Noiser is considered, has significance, Amati Lahachi Boaz Reifa, says Rashi, Af Atzom is Kumeich Atzmoi, because the bones and the Moich are one and the same. The supporter and the content are considered one entity. The basis is bottled to the content. That's why it's burnt. Ela Ilav Milsi, but otherwise, why would you have to burn the bone? Hari Mikim Shinit Toisr. Since it became Noiser, Vinifsu. Once the Karm Pesach was Noiser, it's not possible. It's not Roy Lachila any longer. Now, you can break those bones. The halacha of not breaking is only Tishbru Boy, the Karm Pesach, which is still Roy Lachila. It works well with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Isser breaking bones is very much related with the Din Achila. When you can eat it, be careful, eat it properly. Don't break bones. In any case, that's the drasha. A Karm Pesach, which is kosher, its bones must be left intact. V'loy b'pasal, but if it's no longer kosher, you can break its bones. So it's after the Zman Achila. It's already pasal. Just crack open those bones. V'nit berinu, v'nishkalei l'mayach, and extract the marrow, v'nisrafei, and burn the moyach, which is the edible portion, fine. But why do you have to burn the bones as well? Why do you have to spend the extra expense of the firewood and the exertion to burn the atzamos? What's the point? Apparently, something which services noiser, shimush noiser, is bottled to the noiser, and just as you burn the noiser content within the bone, you burn the bone as well. Let's go back to the Gemara. So perhaps this is a raya to the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak that the tumah, the chacham applied to the noiser, applies to the bones as well, because shimush noiser milsi, just as we find in the Mishnah. The din shreifa applied to the content applies to the atzamos as well, because they are being mishamish the content. Says Mar Amri, the Bnei Yeshiva responded, no, not necessarily. Loi, perhaps this isn't a raya. Loilam emelacha. Shimush Noiser lav milsa? No, perhaps Shimush Noiser has no significance. Why then do we burn those atzamos? Because sabar, because the Tanav Al Mishnah holds. When the pasuk says ve'etzem le'tishvru bay be'kasher afilu apostle, it applies to any type of carbon pesach, whether it's kasher or apostle. Rashi says the word bay is simply a manner of speech. It's not coming to me might a carbon pesach which is apostle, which is Noiser. Even these bones, after the Zman Achila, when the Karm Pesach is possible, cannot be cracked open. You can't extract the edible portion. It's inevitable. You have to burn the bone together with the content, because you can't extract the content. It says the Gemara, filu b'pasul sakadaita. Can you even suggest that a Korban Pesach, which is pasul, may not be cracked open? But now we have a Mishnah later on. Aval amoise b'tar. If one leaves over from the basar of a Korban Pesach, which was tar and edible, he leaves it beyond his manachila, becomes noisar. There is no malchus there. Whether it's because there was no maisa done, whether because it's connected to an assay of burning. The Mishnah will give us two examples of things that not meant to be done, but there's no malchus. Hamoisar b'tar. If a person leaves over the noisar, the basar of a Korban Pesach tar, v'ashever b'tami, one breaks the bones of a Pesach, which is tummy, which is pasul, there's no malchus. The Gemara learns that apparently there's no isra at all to burn, to break a Korban Pesach, which is tummy. How can you say otherwise? So again, our Mishnah, which tells us to burn those bones, it must be that the reason is because the bones are connected with the content. It's mishamish the content. Why else can't you break those bones which are now pasul? You may break a Korban Pesach, which is pasul. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. The answer is like this. It depends what type of psul we're speaking about. When did it occur? Kan shehoi seloi shasa kosher. Our Mishnah, which doesn't seem to allow breakage of bones even with a Korban Pesach pasul, speaking about a Korban which had a shasa kosher. It had a point in time when it was roi l'achila, such as a typical carbon which became nicer. It was roi up until that point, and then it turned into psul. Since it had a time when it was roi l'achila, well, together with the mitzvah achila comes the issur breaking bones. Two things are very much related, like the Sefer HaChinuch said. Therefore, now Mishnah, you cannot break those bones, even after it became nicer. Kan shalei hoyse leishas akosher. The other Mishnah, which tells us that there's no issur breaking a bone in a Korban Pesach, which is tummy, is speaking about a Pesach which never had a Sh'asa Kosher, never had a stage of Kashrus. Rashi says, for instance, the Tumah occurred before the Zrika. It was never Roy Lachil. There you can break bones freely. Uman Tana de Shanilei ben Shahishele Sh'asa Kosher. Who is this Tana differentiated between a Korban which had a Sh'asa Kosher, Luloy Hoysele Sh'asa Kosher, and a Korban which had no Sh'asa Kosher? Who is this man de Omar? Rabbi Yaakovi, the Sanya. We learn from here, boy, be kosher. A Korban Pesach which is kosher may not be broken. V'loy be pasul, but a Korban Pesach which is pasul, which has no din achila, you can break those bones. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. So there's going to be a machleik between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon, as Tosis explains, in the words of the Tanna Kamma. To what extent do we say that there's no issa to break the etzem of a Korban Pesach pasul? Rabbi Yaakov Omer. He meant to know that if the Korban had a Sh'asa Kosher, then there is a Issur Shviras Etzem. Loi Hoysel Sh'asa Kosher, but otherwise, Ein Bo Mishum Shviras Etzem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echadze Vechadze, Ein Bo Mishum Shviras Etzem. He holds that regardless of whether or not it had a Sh'asa Kosher, once the Korban Pesach is pasul, there's no din achila to it, and there's no din of breaking the bone. Our Mishnah here, which tells us that you may not break the atzomis on account of its edible content, even though we're speaking about noisar and its pasul, is following Shita's Rabbi Yaakov. Since there was a shasa kosher, there will be an isser or shvira etzem. So to summarize, we had Rabbi Mori, Baravua, or Rabbi Yitzchak, who told us that when something is being mishamish noiser, becomes a basis le noiser, it has the same din as noiser, pertaining to the tomb of the noiser. The Gemara compared the halacha, apply also the halacha of the shvirasa etzem, the sreifa of the noiser will apply to the shimish as well, to the bone as well. We attempted to bring right from our Mishnah. Why then would he have to break those bones? Apparently because the bone is considered bottle to the content of the noise and has to be burnt along with it. Ligmar responded, not necessarily. Perhaps the issue here is because of the Shvira Se'etzem, which doesn't allow him to break that bone to access the marrow. Since we're speaking about a Korban Pesach, which had a Sh'asa Kosher, following Rabbi Yaakov, that in that case there is an issue of breakage. So it's a practical consideration. He can't access the Moyach. And the Moyach needs to be burnt, certainly, because that's a Roy L'Achila. Therefore, the bone comes along for the ride, and he has to burn the bone as well. Continues the Gemara Meisvei. Perhaps we can have a kasha on this halacha, that Shimush Noiser has significance. We can have a kasha from the following price. Kol HaTzomis HaKachim, all Kachim bones, Ein to an Asrefa, don't need to be burnt. Chutz Me'atzomis HaPesach. All carbonates, all bones of carbonates, even when they're nicer, there's no need to burn the bone. Just break the bone open, pull out the edible portion, and burn that. Chutz matzames ha-pesach. Except for bones of a current pesach, me'at ha-kola. Because of ta-kola, a pitfall, you can't, it's an iser. You can't break those bones open. Therefore, you burn the bones with its content. That's the brice. Let's analyze the brice. What type of bones are we discussing? What type of situation are we speaking about? Are we speaking that there is no marrow within them? Why burn them to begin with? What's the burning issue here? Just get rid of them. They're not nicer. Apparently there is some edible moyach within them. And therefore they need to be burnt. Okay, so let's analyze the difference between Kachem and Pesach. Bryson says Kachem don't need to be burnt, and the Atzomis HaPesach do. Now, if you maintain that something which serves Noisa, such as bones which contain Noisa, that has significance, that attaches the bone to the content, it's Mevatel, the Etzem to the Moyach, and it needs to be burnt. Atzomis Kachem, am I into this Reifa? Why do you tell me that the kachim bones don't need to be burnt? Fine, you could break them open and extract the content, which you can't do by Korban Pesach. So we understand why Korban Pesach has to be burnt with its bone. But why do we say that the atzomis kachim don't? Because you can extract the content? What happened to buses? What happened to the fact that the bones were serving? At one point, they were serving the noisa within them. Once time expires, the content became noisy, and the atzomis was serving them. Everything needs to be burnt. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, Hachib Maiskin. He says we're speaking about a very specific situation where there was no mayach found in the bone. Kigoyin Shemotzan Chalutzin. This fellow discovered bones lying around, bones of karbonis, bones of Korban Pesach, which were emptied of their edible content. And that's the situation in this brice. We're speaking about bones which were emptied. Chalusim mean they were emptied of their content. So now we have that difference. Atzomis kochim, de'ein behen mishum shvira se'etzem. The question is, when were they emptied? When was the mayach extracted? We're not sure. Let's analyze. Atzomis kochim, de'ein behen mishum shvira se'etzem. There's no issa to break those bones and extract the content. We can safely assume, it's an assumption, when were they cracked open? Within the time span of Achila, because he wanted to access the content, to eat the content. Let's assume that the Chalitza took place before it became Noiser. Fully have a Shemesh Noiser. In which case, the bones never served Noiser. And certainly they don't have to be burnt. Look, he walks in the Reis HaMikdash and he finds bones lying around. Bones which were cracked open and emptied of their content. When did this occur? If we're speaking about atzomis of an ordinary carbon, where there's no issur of breakage, you can safely assume the reason why they were cracked open was in order to access the edible portion to be eaten within the zman achila, it's a mitzvah to eat kachin, and not have it become nicer. In which case, the edible content was not present in that bone when it became nicer, and there was no shimush nicer. There's no need to burn those bones. That's regarding ordinary carbonis. However, asomis ha-pesach, that's different. The yesh ben mishum shvira se'etzem, since there's an issa to break those bones, that's what the brisa means, there's an issa to break those bones, then the assumption is that the breakage occurred after nicer came about. Once the carbon became possible. Now, you may break bones. We're following the Shita of Shimon, as she says, of Shimon, that you can break a etzem of a carbon pesach, which had become possible. In which case, we assume that's what happened. Lebasar, the Nahava Noisa, who the Chaltzinu. We'll assume that the Chalitza took place after it became Noisa, post Noisa. Since at that point there's no Isser or breakage. Vahavalu Shimash Noisa. In which case, the bones were serving the Noisar, at least for a short time. Ubo Sreifa. And they too have to be burnt. So again, we had a Braisa, which told us that bones of Kachem don't need to be burnt. Bones of the Karban Pesach do need to be burnt. Tomorrow Kasha. Well, if we're speaking that the bones have some Mayach, some edible portion within them, which became Noisar, the bones too have to be burnt. Shimush Noisar Milsi. Why did the Braisa say that Atzomas Kachem don't need to be burnt? Says Nachman Yitzchak was speaking that he never discovered any edible portion in the Etzem. They were emptied of their content. By Atzomas Kachem, we assume this procedure took place prior to the Noisar deadline, in which case the bones never served Noisar and don't need to be burnt. Whereas when it comes to the Karban Pesach, since breakage is not allowed, during the Zman Achil, when it's still kosher, we assume that the breakage took place after it already became Noiser. Now it's too late. The Atzamas had already served that Noiser content, and they too need to be burnt. Rav Zid Amar has a slightly different approach. Again, let's assume Shimush Noiser is Milsa, has significance. If the bones would have served its edible content, which is Noiser, the bones as well need to be burnt. But this Bryce is speaking about a case which is similar to Nachman, it's slightly different. He finds piles of bones. As Rashi says, he checked the upper layer and finds those bones that have been emptied of their content. Some of them were emptied. Rashi says it was the upper ones. But he didn't bother checking the rest of the pile and he's not sure what's going on in there. How does he proceed? Should he assume that there's edible content within the bones beneath? Or can he just assume, safely assume, just as the top layer has been emptied, the other ones are emptied as well? That depends. Atzamis kachem. The Braisa makes that distinction between kachem bones and pesach bones. Why? Atzamis kachem de'ein behem mishmishvirasa etzem. An ordinary carbon, where there's no issur of breaking its bones. L'kulu havachazlu v'achalu. Let's safely assume that he would have broke them, emptied them of their content, and eaten the content. There's a mitzvah to eat kachem. Why wouldn't he have done that? V'lei bayis reifa, and therefore there's no need to burn the bones in this pile. Let's assume they've been emptied of their edible content. Because by kachem there's no issur of breakage. So you can safely assume there's nothing in there that needs to be burnt. However, at some at Pesach, the Yeish Ben Mishmishvira Se'etzem, when it comes to Pesach, where there's an Isser of breaking, then we have to be concerned, perhaps, the bones beneath the upper layer are filled with Mayach. Dilma Hani D'Chaltzinu. Perhaps it's the upper ones which were empty. Fine. He sees that clearly. But the lower ones were not emptied of their content. They need to be burnt. Let's take a look at Rashi. Shemotzon Sibur and Sibur. He found piles. Ubodek al Yoinim Motzon Chalusim. Checks the upper ones, finds them to be emptied of their content. Atzomis Kachim Loi Boi Lumivdel Tachtoinim. If these are bones belonging to other Kabbalists, don't need to check the lower ones. Aval Atzomis Pesach Boel Mivda Kul. However, by Atzomis Pesach, he has to check the entire pile. And the reason is because Atzomis Kachem, there would be no reason for him to hesitate. Break them and take out the content. So let's assume, just as the upper layer has been emptied, the entire batch was emptied. There's no need to burn anything. There's no noise here. When it comes to Karban Pesach, which is an Is of breakage, he has to be concerned. He has to suspect that perhaps there is something in there that hadn't been emptied. It's still filled with its edible portion, edible content, and is nice and requires strafe. Continues Rashi. Is there any machlekes between Rav Zvid, this last teretz, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? A very slight nafkimin. Bo polig Rav Zvid ad Rav Nachman. Rav Zvid has one point of contention, one machlekes with Rav Nachman, the previous teretz. Rav Nachman was the one who said that, was speaking that he discovered bones which were emptied of their content. He's just unsure as to when that happened. The difference is Rav Nachman. By Kochim, you can safely assume it took place during the Zman Achila prior to the Noiser arrival. Why? Because no Issa breaking the bones of the Karbanis. Let's assume he accessed the edible part and ate it, and we have no Noiser which was present in the Zatzomis. Therefore, they don't need to be burnt. When it comes to Karban Pesach, we're concerned that perhaps he didn't break these bones until the Zman Achila was over. Now it became a Karban Pesach Pasul, which allows breakage, and then he did the breakage, in which case the Atzamis was serving the Noiser at one point, and they need to be burnt. So according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, when we're unsure, when there's a suffix as to when the breakage took place by a Karban Pesach, we have to go to Chumrah and assume that it took place recently, after Noiser had already arrived. Whereas Rav Zvid disagrees with that. He's not so machmer. Let's see Rashi. Ubaho polig Rav Zvid ad Rav Nachman. Rav Zvid holds the matzan chalutzin. Suppose he found them to have been emptied. Unlike this case, where he found piles and just the upper ones were checked and found to be empty, but the lower ones were unknown, status unknown. Therefore, Rav Zvid said, well, it depends. By kachem, you can hope for the best. By Pesach, you have to be concerned. What about a case where he actually sees that they've been emptied, such as Rav Nachman's case? Rav Zvid would hold, in that case, it's mutter. There's no reason to have any concern here. The matzan chalutzen lechamish lechamer shimush noisa kulihai. Let's read straight from the suffix. This concept of shimush noisa, which is the rabbanon, it's not so chamer to require a strefa on account of a suffix. V'loimah basar isurayu chaltzinu, which you have to speculate that perhaps the Chalitza, the extraction took place after it already became Asar. He doesn't agree with that Chumrah. So again, Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us he finds the bones extracted, emptied. When it comes to Karban Pesach, you have to be concerned that perhaps this extraction took place at a later date, at a later time, after it already came Noisa, in which case the Atzamis were serving Noisa, and you have to burn them. According to Rav Zvid, we're not so machmer. It's only a case of uncertainty when we don't know. We have a pile, we don't know what's going on there. Then we have to speculate. Perhaps they're filled with content. They're currently filled with content of Noisa. I need to be burned. But if he sees clearly there's nothing in these bones, then don't worry about it. You don't have to be choshish that the content was still there when it became Noisa and it was only emptied recently. Let's assume the extraction took place before it became Noisa. Now, the obvious kasha here is, how can you say that? There's an issue to break the bone before it becomes nicer. It's a Pesach Kasha. Why would there Zvid be Mekel? Say, well, let's hope for the best. It took place before it became nicer. It would be an issue to do that. Isn't Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's approach correct? Isn't it more plausible that we should assume that the breakage took place after it became nicer, after it became Pasul, in which case it's mutter to do so? Says the Maloi Haroim, what Rashi means is as follows. Rav Zvid holds that if he sees empty bones, he can assume the breakage occurred, you know when? On the day of Erev Pesach. Before Pesach even arrived, at which time there's no issa of breaking a bone. Or he says if there's no kazais of basar on that bone, the issa of shviras etzem only applies when there's achila potential. Right? The Sefer Chinuch connects the two things, right? He's meant to eat in a manner of not chomping, not breaking that bone. So if there's no shir kazayis on that etzem, there's no issa shviras etzem. That's what Rashi meant. So again, according to Rav Zvid, we have a kula. If he sees empty bones, of course there's no reason for concern, even by Karban Pesach, he can safely assume that the content was extracted prior to the arrival of issa noisa. Okay, back to the Gemara. Let's just summarize. We had halacha that the atzamos of noiser are matame yodaim, just as the noiser itself is matame. the thing that supports the Noises Matame, the Gemara applied this concept to the Din Sreifa as well. Just as the Noises is meant to be burned, the service of the thing that serves the Noiser, the buses, the Mishamish, is also meant to be burned. We tend to bring Raya from our Mishnah, which we negated, not necessarily as a Raya. Then we had a Kasha from this Brisa, which differentiated between Atzomis Kachem, which don't need to be burnt, and the Atzomis Pesach, which do need to be burnt. And evidently we're speaking that there's some edible content within them. And the Kasha was, why don't you have to burn the Atzomis Kachem? It would seem this is a Kasha on that concept. Something which serves nicer should go along with the nicer. You have two Tirutz. Nachum Yitzchak says, we're speaking that there's no content. He found empty bones. Rav Zitz says, we're speaking about a pile which had an upper layer of empty bones, and therefore when it comes to Kachem, he can assume they were emptied out during this manachila in order to access its content. They were broken open, extracted, and there's no need to burn anything. There's no noise here. Continues the Gemara, Omar Vida Marav. Kol ha'gidin basar. All veins, sinews, tendons that we find in the Korban Pesach have a din of basar. What's the nafkamina? Says Rashi, when we have the menuyin, those members who count themselves into the Korban Pesach, you can even use the gidin to allocate a kezias to each member of the group, because the gidin are considered edible, have a din of basar. And if one eats gidin, he was yaitzeh mitzvah of achilas pesach. So this applies to all gidin except chutz megidei tzavar, except for this hard, tough gid that we find in the neck area. Rashi says this is the alal, some type of hard, tough gid, and that's not called, that doesn't have a din of basar. Rashi says it's eitz ba'amah, it's considered inedible. Says the Gemara, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Hatzom mois v'hagidim v'anoisar yisor for betazai. Mishnah gives us a list of three items: bones, gidin, and noisar. Noisar is ordinary basar which was left beyond this manachila. These things are burnt. Let's analyze. Hani gidin hechidam. What type of gidin are we speaking about, which seemed to be designated initially for sreifa? Sreifa is unavoidable. It's slated for sreifa. What type of gidin are we speaking about? Ilei megidei basar, speaking of ordinary veins, which have a din of basar, the edible, nichlinu, just eat them. Vidi toisar, were they left beyond as manachila? Fine, haina noisar. That's already included in the next item in the Mishnah. Noisar, anything edible, left beyond as manachila, is noisar. The Mishnah seems to be listing three different things here. Atzomet, gidin, and noisar. If these gidin are just ordinary gidin, edible gidin, then they're included in Nisa, they're like basar. Why does the Mishnah set them apart? Indicating that these gidin are inevitably going to be burnt. If they're edible, then it's not inevitable. Eat them if you could. If they're left over, fine, they're like regular basar. Why set them apart, put them into their own category? Elopshita gidei tzavar. Apparently, we're referring to specific types of gidin, the gidin tzara, which were tough and hard to eat. Now, why do you have to burn them? E amres b'shlame basar ninu, if you consider them like basar, and if one eats them, he's yoytzei, that explains the halach. Amato lahachi, bois reva. That's why, if they're left beyond his man achilu, they need to be burnt. They were left over from the achilu. Elei amres la basar ninu. But if they're not considered basar, such as the way you're proposing it, why would you have to burn them at all? We learned Rashi earlier that noiser, which requires sreifa, is specific to something which was left over from the achila. But according to you, gidei tzavar are not regarded as basar, as royal achila. Why burn them? Again, if gidei tzavar are considered somewhat edible, have a din of basar, that explains why the Mishnah tells you to burn it, because even though your typical person doesn't eat these things, the Mishnah is being mechadish to us, yeah, it's still considered basar, and if it's left beyond the zman, you have to burn it. That's why it gets its own classification in the Mishnah. It's itemized. It's listed separately. It's a chiddush. But if Gidei Tzavar are not considered basar at all, they're not Roi L'Achila, why would you have to burn it after the Zman? It's an edible. An edible doesn't need Sreifa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Le'nitzrucha El Gidanosh. Apparently, we're speaking about regular, ordinary Gidim. Gidim which are Basa, which are Roi L'Achila. We're not speaking about the Gidei Tzavar, which are really not Roi L'Achila. We're speaking about typical, standard Gidim, which are perfectly edible. Why then does the Mishnah say Gidim are meant to be burnt? Let's wait and see. If they're eaten, fine. If they're not, then they're like nicer. We're speaking about the Gidei Hanasha, which is Asur B'Achila. Finally, Rabbi Yehuda, who says like this, in contrast with the Tanakama, who holds that Gid Anasha applies to both sides of the animal, the Gid contained in the right thigh and the left thigh. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Sani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Noyeg Ela Ba'achas. The Isser is only applied to one. Which one? Vadas Machras. The Deya dictates, it's logical, that it's Shalyamin, it's the right one. Meaning that we don't know conclusively which one it is. It's Mistaver that it's the right one. So we have both Gid Hanoshes, the right and the left. One of them is Asur Min HaTorah, and one is Mutar. We just don't know which one. Therefore, says the Mishnah, the Gid Hanoshe of an animal must be burnt. If you know with certainty that this is the one that's Asur, Asur B'Achilu Min HaTorah, of course you don't have to burn it because it's considered inedible. But since we have two and we don't know which one is the one that's Asur, so technically one of them is really Roi L'Achila, just don't know which one. So on the one hand you can't eat it, but at the same time it has a din of Noisar if it's past as Manachil, it needs to be burnt. Says the Gemara, okay, Ve'ela Tivshet, if that's the case, let's conclude from our Mishnah regarding a discussion we had on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. This is discussed in the Gemara Chulin. When Rabbi Yehuda says, Hadas Machras Shel Yemin, what did he mean? Das Torah? This is what the Torah meant? It was a conclusion? Yeah, it's the right one? Or was he uncertain? It was simply stating his opinion. It seems that it's more probable that the right one is the one that's us. It seems very clear from our Mishnah, according to this pshat, in our Mishnah, that it's a suffix. Right? Since you don't know which is the one that's Asr, you must refrain from both. But there's one in there that's really mutter, Min HaTorah. You can't eat it out of uncertainty, but it's considered technically edible, and therefore if it's left beyond the Zman, it's nice and has to be burnt. Ve'la Tivshet, let's conclude from our Mishnah, this Fuki Mesapkele, that there's a suffix, L'Rab Yehuda, which one is the real Geranosh? Dim if Shepshitele, because if it was clear to him that it's the right one, which is Asr, not the left, then how do you explain our Mishnah? Why would you initially burn a Gid? If it's the one that's Asr, the right one, then it's not edible. You don't have to burn it. It's not nicer. If it's the left one, which is Mutter, then go ahead and eat it. Hahidah Teir Nechle. The left one, which is Mutter, eat it. Udi Sura Nishtai. The one that's Asr, the right one, should be tossed away. Lomalei Sreifa. Why would you even burn it? Amar. And really, it's a shaila. It's a discussion in Gemara Chulin. It seems difficult that we can have a conclusion from our Mishnah, whereas in the Gemara Chulin, there's no mention of our Mishnah. It's a shaila, what Rida meant. And according to this pshat, it's pretty clear from our Mishnah what he meant. Amar Ika Bar Chanina. He says like this. You know what? Maybe it's clear to Rabbi Yehuda. When he says Hadas Machra Shel Yemin, he meant conclusively. The right one is the one that's us. The left one is Mutter. So how do you explain our mission? Amar Ika Bar Chanina Kegon Shehukru Ulbay Sef Nisarvo. We're speaking about a case where they were identified. This is the right, this one's the left, and then they got mixed up. Now you have a mixture of two Gidim, which are very similar in appearance. You don't know which one's what. And you can't eat it misafik. And therefore the Mishnah says, you need to burn them both. So again, perhaps Rabbi is very clear on this. the right one is Asr, the left one is Mutar. Therefore, technically, the right one could be just tossed away. And the left one, you go and eat it. But since they got mixed up, both are now off limits. And since there's one in there that's really Mutar, if it's left beyond the Zman Achil, it needs to be burnt. That's what the Mishnah meant. With the word Gidin, Gidin have to be burnt. Another pshat, Rav Ashi Omar, Lenitzruchel l'shamnoi de Gidin Ashi. When the Mishnah says the Gid is meant to be burnt, we're not speaking about the Gid itself, which is Asur and not Rayla Achila, and it's not considered nice. Rather, we're speaking about the Shuman, the fat around the Gid, which Min HaTorah is Mutar b'Achila, but Midrabban is not. Therefore, technically, since it's Rayla Achila HaTorah, it's considered nicer if it's left beyond the time span of Achila. But you can't eat it. Midrabban, you can't eat it. Therefore, a strafe is required. The Sanya, Shamni Mutar, the Shuman of the Gid HaNosh is Mutar, Yisroch Doishim Heim, Vin Noyegin by Isser, and since the Minig is not to eat it, you have to leave it over, and then you burn it. Now, the Chiddush here is that although Noiser only applies to something which was really edible, as Rashi explained earlier on Amud Aleph, it was left beyond the Zman Achila, and here, practically, you can't eat it, because it's Yisroel Noyegin by Isser, that's still called Noiser, and you have to burn it. That's the second pshat. Ravina Amar, here's another pshat now, Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean, Gidin are meant to be burnt? Bechitzen, the outer Gid. Ukud Ravida Mashmo, the Amar Ravida Mashmo. Beis Gidinin, we have two Gid Hanoshes, two Gidin in that area. Pnimiya Samach Le'etzem Asr. The inner one, which is closer to the bone, is Asr Min HaTorah V'Chayav Min Olof. And one gets Malkus for eating it. Chitzen, but the outer one, Asamach HaBasa, which is closer to the surface of the Basa, Asr, it's Asr Min HaRabbanim, Ein Chayav Min Olof, but there's no Chiyav, there's no Malkus as a result. And that's what the Mishnah meant. The Gidin are meant to be burnt, meaning the outer Gidin, which are really Mutar Min HaTorah, considered edible. Therefore, if it's left beyond this Zman Achila, it's considered nice. Although he can't eat it, Midrabanan, Min HaTorah is called nicer, and therefore, it is slated and designated for strafe. So in summary, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us, your typical Gid is considered Basar, it's considered edible, except for the Gid Yitzavar, which are inedible. How do we understand our Mishnah, which tells us that Gidin are meant to be burnt? Well, if it's edible, then eat it. If it's inedible, then why burn it? It's like a bone, like a rock. It doesn't need to be burnt. We have three terutzim. Either we're speaking that you have a mixture, a mix-up between the Gid HaNosha, which was Mutar, Gid HaNosha, which is Asar, and somebody in there is Mutar. You can't eat it on account of Safik. But there's one in there that's Mutar, therefore it becomes nicer and strafe is required. And we're speaking about a Gid which is Rai L'Achil. And therefore strafe is required. The second teretz was, we're speaking about the Shuman, the fat of the Gid HaNosha, which again is Mutar Min HaTorah, but it's Asar Min D'Rabbanan. Therefore, it's inevitable that's going to be burnt, because Min HaTorah is considered nicer and requires strafe. Third pshat is, we're speaking about the outer Gid, which again is Mutar Min HaTorah. And if it's left beyond this manachil, it's considered noisa, but since he can't eat it, the Rabbanan, Sreifa will be applied. Continues the Gemara, Chalta Zayin, the Mishnah tells us that you can only burn on Chol HaMoed. You can't burn on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Why can't he burn noisa on Yom Tov? We know that an essay has the power to override a lois essay. Nasi essay, the essay of Ba'ish Tisreifu, which is said by Noiser, should come and push away v'yitchi loisasei, push away the loisasei of doing malacha on Yom Tov. Omar Chizkia, v'chein toni dvei Chizkia, Omar Kro, loisasiru menu ad boiker, don't leave over kachim until morning, v'anoiser menu ad boiker, the Noiser which is left until morning, v'eish tisreif. That's the pasuk. We find the repetition in this pasuk. Shein tam leima ad boiker, why repeat the words ad boiker? What's it coming to teach us? Ad Boiker. What's that coming to teach us? Litan Le Boiker Shin. Listray Fasit. That you meant to wait until the second morning. Don't do the Sreifa on the first morning, which is Yom Tov. Wait until tomorrow morning, which is Chol HaMoed. So it's a special Pasuk to tell us when to do the Sreifa on Yom Tov rather than on Chol HaMoed rather than Yom Tov. Abai Omar. He has another Pshat. Omar Kro. Oila Shabbos V'Shabbat. The oil of Shabbos is meant to be brought on Shabbos. We learn from here, v'loy oil aschoy b'Shabbos. You can't bring a weekday oil For instance, if you brought an oila on Friday, you have some remnants, the chalavim, which were left over, now it's Shabbos, you can't bring it on Shabbos. V'loy oila schoil b'Shabbos. V'loy oila schoil b'yomtiv. Now, since you can't be makriv, the remnants of a carbon which was kosher, since it was brought on a weekday, certainly you're not meant to burn the puzzle portion of a weekday carbon on Shabbos or Yom Tov. How does this apply to the carbon Pesach? Explains Rashi, Pesach as well is considered a weekday carbon because the hakrava took place when? On Erev Yom Tov. Therefore, you can't go ahead and tend to that carbon, burn its nicer on Yom Tov. Rav Amar, he has another source, Amar Kro, Hu Levada Yasel Lachem. The Pasuk here is telling us you can do Eichal Nefesh, fruit preparation on Yom Tov. Hu Levada are two meats, two exceptions. We learn from Hu V'loy Machshirav. You can't do the preparatory acts, you can't do the Hachonetz, which could have been done before Yom Tov. You can't do that on Yom Tov. Levada, from that word we learn, V'loy Milosh Le Bezmana. One cannot perform a out of time, Mila beyond the eighth day, on Yom Tov. Why would I think otherwise? Because, theoretically, you could have applied the Kavu Chayma to teach you that a Mila Shle Bezmana can be done on Yom Tov. The Pasuk here comes to exclude that. Let's see Rashi. Le Mila Shle Bezmana on top of the Yomid. Dile Mimayet Krof, not for the Miut, I would use a kavachayim to allow you to do a milah shle bezmana on Yom Tov. Why? Since we find that a kind that has tzaras, it's a matzera, that overrides avoida, he can't do avoida. V'avoida derech a Shabbos. And we find also that avoida pushes away Shabbos. You can do malach for the sake of avoida on Shabbos. So since we find that tzaras, despite the fact that it's so chashav, it's stronger than avoida, which is stronger than Shabbos. Still, mila afshele bezmana doichaisa. The mitzvah's mila, even if it's beyond the eighth day, it overrides tzaras. Afilu b'makam baharis, yokitz baharitai. If the mila is interfering with tzaras, if in the makam mila there's a tzaras, he can go ahead and cut it off. We see mila is superior to tzaras. So mila is superior to tzaras, which is stronger than avodah, which is stronger than Shabbos. Knowing that, let's proceed. Shabbos shenitches ne'avoida. Certainly Shabbos, which is overridden by avoida, you do malacha for avoida on Shabbos. Ein adin shtei mila doichas. Certainly mila, which is stronger than everybody, can override Shabbos. So that would be the havamin. You can do a mila, even shlei bezmana, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'asa kro miyotan. The pasuk comes to exclude it. The kivan is shlei bezmana, since it's beyond the eighth day. Kigon shegeshen is gayer. A ger who needs a mila, but he's not on his eighth day. V'katan shenenus aviv v'avarzman, or an infant whose father couldn't get around to it, and it's beyond the eighth day. Nishuyu l'macha, meant to leave it till tomorrow. V'gabes shefas psul kachim. Nami, same thing regarding burning the psul kachim. Kimu l'shlebizmano. It says though it's a mila shlebizmano. Why? Because you have an alternative. It's not time sensitive. The efshel l'shuyu dami, you can leave it until tomorrow, and therefore it's not considered time sensitive. We learn from here that Strafas Kachem cannot take place on Yom Tov. Finally, says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, another source for this halacha, Shabbos on the Yom Tov Asehu. What was the kasha? Why can't the mitzvah asehu of burning Kachem override the lois asehu of doing malach on Yom Tov? The answer is, Shabbosin, which is said by Yom Tov, is a mitzvah asehu, Shvois, rest, refrain from malacha. Now that Yom Tov has both, has a mitzvah asehu to refrain, and a lois asehu not to do, an essay of burning kachem can override both things, essay and a lois essay. It can only override a lois essay. Vein essay, the essay of burning kachem cannot come along and be doiche, override the lois essay v'assay that are contained within Yom Tov. Therefore, you can't burn nois on Yom Tov. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. We went about the concept of something which is being mishamish noiser, has the same halacha, has the same tumah, the same sreifa. Rav Yehuda tells us, edible gidim are considered basar. Now, the Mishnah, which tells us, atzomes, gidim, and noisar are meant to be burnt. Now, when are they meant to be burnt? Of course, on Chol HaMoed, as we just learned, we can't burn on Yom Tov. What does the Mishnah mean? Atzomes, we have two pshatim. Either we're speaking about bones which contain a noisar, since they're serving it, they have to be burnt alongside the Noisa. Or come to the other pshat, he couldn't access the content because he can't break those bones. Even a Pesach puzzle can't be broken according to the Shita because it had a Shasa Kosher, as it was at one time edible. Therefore, circumstantially, since he can't access the edible content, he has to burn the bone together with it. V'hagidim, what's that referring to? We have three pshat. Either we're speaking about the Giranusha of Heter, that got mixed in with the Giranusha, which was Asa. Since there's one in there that's Mutter, if it's left beyond his manachila, it becomes nicer. And therefore, it has to be burnt. Or we're speaking about the Shuman, the fat of the Giranusha, which is Mutter Minatur, but also from the Rabban, he can't eat it. But since Minatur it's edible, it becomes nicer, and needs to be burnt. Or we're speaking about the Giranusha Hachitzen, which again is Mutter Minatur, also from the Rabbanon, therefore has a din of nicer. Be well, and Hatzlacha Rabba.